Don't change that dial. WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. How come you were so itchy to get going?
My gosh. Because it's our anniversary. Happy anniversary, Dr. Palmer.
Oh, another one?
1 year tomorrow.
Oh, and they said it wouldn't last.
Going strong.
As long as our funds hold out, it'll last.
It's getting dwindled.
Everybody, that's Dr. Tony Schiffo.
And that's Dr. Palmer, John Palmer.
And Trevor is our engineer, and we had him on the show last week, and the Catholics loved you. The Catholics loved you.
Rave reviews, Trevor. Rave reviews.
Today, we're going to go further with different cultures. And we have Darcelle Witten-Wilimowski. She's head of the African American Ministry for the Diocese of Rockville Center. And we met with her. Remember, Tony, we sat
yes,
and chatted with
absolutely.
Her?
Absolutely. She's dynamic.
She really is. And we put together, actually, it was two talks that she had given in discussion with us. And the first, she talked about the history of Black Catholics. It was very interesting.
Very intriguing.
Yeah. And... then in the second talk, we put them both together, though. In the second talk, she talked about her own personal relationship with Jesus, with Mary in particular, and a little bit about the work of the ministry of the diocese. So it's going to be quite an interesting show.
And she's a TV celebrity, isn't she? Isn't she on TV?
She's on Total Praise on Telecare, and she's on a regular basis. I just tell her, I know you're listening, Darcelle. I like your outfits on Total Praise.
And we love you, Darcelle.
Okay. We better listen to Al for a few minutes.
Let's remember that he loves us. And let's thank him every day. In this world.
So, Tony, how are you going to celebrate our anniversary today?
Well, I thought we would go out or something. I don't know. I haven't given it that much thought, Dr. Palmer.
When we had Rhea Music on a couple of weeks ago, they wouldn't let us have dancing girls. I mean, everything. I mean, what are we going to do?
But you know what? When we look back over the number of guests that we've had and the guests that we've had,
it's fascinating.
Quite amazing. We've had celebrities. We've had witnesses. I'm praying that we have touched many souls.
Well, I pray the same. Why don't we get ourselves ready for Darcelle today with the opening song, really, Come to the Water. And I think it'll help everyone just get in the mood and listen for Darcelle.
Come to the water.
It's such a pleasure, Darcel, to have you here with us today, because you head up the African American Ministry for the Diocese.
Yes.
And the purpose of our show is to let everybody know, any race, color, creed, whatever, Jesus dwells in every person equally yet differently.
Yes.
And his love is complete.
Amen.
And we, a lot of us just don't understand. Go
ahead. It knows no boundaries.
I know.
It has no limitations.
That's right.
That's right.
But Palmer, give a little background on Darcel. She's got a great background.
Well, first of all, we have to have you pronounce your name. Darcel Whitten.
Darcel Whitten Willimowski.
Right.
Whoa.
Well, I'm not giving you the whole enchilada because my saint name is Bernadette, which I love.
Oh, I love that name.
That's my saint. She and I have a lot in common. I don't expect anything to happen for me here. I'm looking forward to it all happen after.
Okay.
And Tony Darcel heads up the gospel choir for the diocese.
Yes, and I see her on TV a lot. I'm
praise.
A little bit of a fan of hers.
Oh.
Whenever I can.
Okay.
And you have some good guests on that show.
Thank you.
Would you tell our listeners now, what is the African American experience of the Catholic religion? How does Jesus get through to people from African American background?
Well, you know, actually Jesus has been getting through to us since slavery. The black spirituals, which is probably the purest form of real honest hymns to me, came through slavery, came through black people who were undergoing the test of being slaves, having been ripped from their motherland and brought here to pick cotton and to cut sugarcane, whether they went to the various islands or they were brought here to the motherland. And it was through the masters who were Catholic that they too became Catholic or became Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus, to a bunch of folk who were not allowed to really come together with the white folk, quote unquote, and praise and worship, used to meet in the fields. And one of the trumpet blasts that brought them together is a song that we sing for baptisms and even for confirmations. It's a black spiritual, Wade in the Water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's going to trouble the water.
Can you sing that?
Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's going to trouble the water. It's very poignant.
Yes, it is.
For
very
me
beautiful.
Because I think of so many ancestors who sang that song and never got the opportunity that I now have, because as we did become Catholic, we were segregated from our other brothers and sisters in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Those Jim Crow laws applied to everybody, and so we sat in a corner where we were relegated. So when we talk about a history of black Catholics, we're talking about a lot of pain.
And suffering.
And suffering. And that same pain and suffering that came from slavery that now gets mixed into that whole, now you're going to sit over there and sing. Because those people who went to those churches were not just there for praise and worship, but they were following somebody they were taking care of. Miss Ann, Mr. John. In some cases, as a matter of fact, when you're talking about like Louisiana, where black people actually were bred for different things. There were a group of people who were known as octoroons, for heaven's sake. You know, they were part black. They had a certain percentage of black. And those women were married off to French men. I mean, this was a whole society.
Yes.
That was, and that's where we get one of our saints, Catherine Delisle, that's up for canonization, that she, Mother Delisle, founded an order. She refused to be a part of that society and to go into that at all, or to use her body that way.
And let's talk a little bit more modern about Dr. Martin.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the whole civil rights movement, Dr. King is leader of the civil rights movement, but that whole civil rights movement is what blew the lid off black Catholics.
Absolutely.
For black Catholics, because it was the very idea that we could come together and make a difference, make a change. Rosa Parks not giving up her seat, the folks coming together to march on Washington, because this is the moment where what took place in the dark and in the corner starts to come into the light. Our music, people are hearing it for the first time, because as we are marching and we're fighting, we're singing and praising God.
Absolutely.
Because this was the very essence of nonviolence. People were trained not to respond to what was happening to them, and that's how we did it. That whole getting into the spirit thing, sitting up at counters, sitting on buses, laying out, being carted away to jail, all of that. And so for the first time, people are hearing spirituals and people are seeing a certain spirituality. And black Catholics are becoming a part of all of that. And they're remembering their roots.
And Dr. Martin Luther King opened up the box.
Oh, wait,
opened up the avenue.
And this is the beginnings of the offices of black ministry, where black people are now, as Catholics, saying to themselves, well, gee, Aunt Mary used to sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. What's the matter with it? How come I can't sing it in church on Sunday? You know, if it was good enough.
And they can.
And now they can. But
absolutely.
They, you know?
But think of the contribution that the African culture made to the American society.
Oh, yes.
The songs.
Absolutely.
The
yes.
talent, the sports.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
And all because of you, of the black Americans saying, no, this is not acceptable.
But you know, Tony, yeah. and Darcelle, I think a lot of Catholics just think that black Americans are Baptists, are Christians, and not Catholics.
No, they're Catholics.
Not at all.
That's the point we're trying to make.
It's very important that we all realize, because there is a gentleman, a priest, God bless his soul, Augustus Tolton. Father Augustus Tolton was the first African-American priest. And no one wanted him. No one. He had to go to Rome to study.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, he was sent to Chicago. Now, this is before Tuskegee Airmen. This is before a whole lot of first, that this soul was called by Christ to do this. Can you imagine, for those of us who feel that we're called into some form of ministry, having that fire in your belly and being denied the opportunity to give it, and having to leave your country to learn so that you can do what it is that God has called you to do? We're talking about a long time ago, and there are saints like St. Augustine, like St. Monica, one of my favorite people, St. Josephine Paquita. Oh, the list goes on and on. Black folk have always been a part of the Catholic Church.
That's even right. Before
slavery. The earliest foundations of Christianity, most people don't realize, are in these African places and in the Middle East. I mean, Jesus. Well, you know, where did he walk? Where did he preach? And what are the realities of that historically? But then again, when we start to accept some of these things, we will become a more loving people towards one another.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping we're getting there.
Absolutely, and I hope so.
And let's talk a little bit more about Dr. Martin Luther King and
Dr.
his
King.
Contribution to to the African American.
Yes.
And I think I told you that I equate Dr. Martin Luther King with Moses.
Yes.
Because I think he led the people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because for us, when I think about Black history, Harriet Tubman is considered Black Moses. Harriet Tubman, we got to go a little further back than King, was this soul that believed with all of her heart that she was chosen by God to bring her people out of slavery. And she went back for people and she went back for people. Some of our songs are born of this. Follow the Drinking Gourd, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, because those were the clues that Black Moses was coming and she was picking up somebody today. That whole Underground Railroad system that she used brought Black people and white people together and Native Americans together to bring slaves out of slavery up north where they could be free, or as free as they could be under the circumstances, okay? But she is called the quote-unquote Black Moses. What a spirit, what a soul, what an unbelievable human being. Now we get to Dr. King, who, yes, absolutely, was a Moses, because what he did literally was pull people together against something that prior to there was so much fear. And I cannot stress this to you any more than to say to you that a member of my own family had to leave under the cover of night to escape the Klan. When you're talking about the laws that existed that were not written down in books known as Jim Crow laws, the fear that people felt just to go to the wrong water fountain could have somebody jump on your house and pull your father out and hang him from a tree or set him on fire before your eyes. So for this particular soul to come at this moment in time, in history, is an act of God.
Absolutely.
Chosen by God, because every word out of his mouth could be placed in the middle of prophetic books and they would fit beautifully.
Absolutely. And when he said, "Let my people go."
Yes.
Didn't Moses say that to the Pharaohs?
Yes.
Let
my people go. But see, the thing with Dr. King is, and what's so important is, he was a pastor. He was a preacher. Dr. King was chosen very beautifully. As a matter of fact, the whole movement came from the Black churches. Those buses that came and brought people from one place to the other were all buses from different Black churches. And I'm going to add, because there were our beautiful Catholic sisters and priests that, despite the fact they may have been told to stay out of it, were very much a part of it. Marched with Dr. King, got on buses, sat at lunch counters, had the little selves arrested, got in trouble with their bishops, and all of that, okay? This man that I truly believe was born to do what he did, could have done what he did. And that was to pull all these people together and get them to rise above that terrible fear to fight for their rights. And it did. It opened up a whole can for those of us who were Catholic, because we began to think, well, gee willikers, if we could sit wherever we want on a bus and we can are now capable of fighting for better jobs and all of this, well, hey, why can't we now bring our culture into the Catholic Church?
And it's so rich.
A very
it's
rich
so
culture.
Rich. It's unbelievably
rich. And it's a culture
rich.
That I firmly believe, because God uses us. He uses us to feed one another and to feed off one another. And had we not been brought here as slaves, and this is the way I look at it and keep my sanity, and you have to keep your Christian self and not be angry about stuff all the time. realizing that things happen for a reason. Had we not been brought here, there would be no spirituals. There would be no jazz. Oh. There would be no Paul Robeson. There would be no Dr. King. There would be no Harriet
Tubman. No Oprah Winfrey.
No Oprah Winfrey. No Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine life without those poems? I mean, there's a reason for everything. It's like this beautiful quilt that's being sewn together by angels that just, okay, here we got this little piece we're gonna bring from Africa and we're gonna sew it together over here with the Native Americans, put little stitches over there with our European Americans, put a little stitch over here, and it's all good. It's just that, you know, we're not there yet where we can accept that the way we should. And we fight and we bite and we scratch.
The one thing that ties everyone together is the sense that Jesus is truly alive in the Eucharist. And that's what holds it all together.
Yes, yes. And that is so vitally important because a lot of people ask me, well, why are you Catholic? How can you possibly be black and Catholic?
They ask
now,
me the same thing.
I'm okay.
And they ask me, are you really Catholic?
Yeah, oh my God. Well, because there's the whole charismatic end of things too.
Yes.
Okay, which nobody but then that's a whole other subject. But I'm Catholic, speaking for myself, which I can only speak for. I can go to other churches as a black person because my culture, who I am before God, I need a good sermon.
Absolutely.
I need a good Bible thumping sermon. When I'm bleeding and I'm battered and I go to church on Sunday, I don't want to leave the way I walked in.
You need to be fed.
Exactly. I need a good sermon. I need good music. I need to feel free that if it gets good to me, I can say amen and I can put my hand up and I can get happy and nobody's looking at me like I'm a nut. So therefore, I can sneak around. But I can go to these churches and get all that. But what I can't get is I can't get Eucharist.
You can't get Eucharist.
I can't get Eucharist, which pains me no end. And the other thing is I have a relationship with Mary, with the mother of Jesus. I have an understanding of her, always have had an understanding of her, and I can't get that either.
Right.
So it becomes frustrating for me to be black and Catholic because I have needs as a person of African ancestry that need to be filled, that the Catholic Church does not fill me. But on the other hand, I also have the needs as a Catholic to have Eucharist and
sacraments,
to continue my relationship in a certain way with the Jesus that I know and was raised to know. And there's now, I'm going to be honest. As a Catholic, I can go to the Diocese of Brooklyn. There's all these lovely little black Catholic churches that I can go sit in the back and get happy and nobody looks at me funny and hear the music and get a good thumping in. But I don't live there. I live here in the Diocese of Rockville Center, and it's very difficult for me to find what I need. Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose of this office. But this office can only do so much, because when you have an office, that whole idea of bringing people together on a weekly basis so that you have families and you have kids who are growing up and all of that is missing, and that pains me. Mm-hmm. It really pains me because I know I'm losing people, especially young people, because if Catholic Church, our young people are different than the young people that I was a part of, okay? The young people that I was a part of, we heard Dr. King, okay? Even though we weren't able to march, we heard Dr. King. We were made to look on TV. There was a responsibility in all of that, that was passed down from generation to generation. There was this old folks thing about it takes a village to raise a child, that black culture, it just passed down from slavery and came from Africa. Families never broke apart. You lived in a community. I couldn't breathe. You couldn't do anything wrong. What are you kidding me? If you went to school and you came home, Miss Mary was looking in the window. And if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, Miss Mary told Mom, Mom told Dad, and we all know what happened, okay? But it just doesn't, we've lost something in the translation, and that's a whole other story unto itself. But, you know, we as a people have become so into things, you know what I mean? And our young people are into these things, the computer, the fast fix to being happy, you know? And it's about music, and they will listen and they will buy all the latest gospel music and drive in their cars and listen to it on the radio and all of that. And they're seeking out these churches where you go and the choir is king and there's all of this stuff going on. And there's just still so much missing. It's like the quick fix, and they leave, and yet they're still not happy because there's only so close they can go after having been Catholic for so many years. And now you're out there looking for this and that just so that you can have these bits and pieces of your culture. Because see, they don't have the idea that I had, that you stand in one place and you fight to bring about changes. And if they're not getting it, they're running.
And that you have that close personal relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
And if you don't have that, you're out in left field. You're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes, exactly. And exactly.
Speaking of Jesus, speaking of the Blessed Mother, I'm dying to ask you a question, if I may.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Oh boy.
Wait a minute. When he gets that look, I'll watch it.
I would like to know, when did Mary first come into your life? And when did Jesus, and how did Jesus come into your life?
That's very easy to answer.
And what did they do for you?
Yes. Mary comes into my life through my own mother. Hmm. You would have had to, it's like people who know me know that I learned ministry at the feet of my mother. My mother raised a lot of kids, not just her own, because once again, this is what the black community was. The kids whose mom was an alcoholic and didn't get breakfast in the morning, my mother was up at 5 o'clock cooking breakfast. Did you get anything to eat out there? And the house was always filled with people. I mean, it went on all of my life. So when I got started with my ministry, I must have been like 15 years old when I had my first choir. Choir used to rehearse in my house. My mother would sit in a chair and shake her head. Well, now that note wasn't quite right. Let's go over that again. My mother was an amazing human being. I had cousins that my aunts worked. They all worked. They all looked after one another's kids. But my mother was the oldest of her brothers and sisters. And what she said was what was happening. And it's a funny story because when they came here from the South and they moved into Harlem, my mother had two sisters directly younger. It was my mother, my aunt Sweetie, my aunt Eva. When the handmaids of Mary got their hot little hands on my mother to evangelize her, the people who became Catholic was my mother, my aunt Sweetie, and my aunt Eva, and consequently their husbands. Because what my mother said is what went. Now, my mother had a relationship with Mary. So when I had my first communion and I got my first pair of little white rosary beads, my mother said rosary, I said rosary. My mother had an ongoing conversation, I had an ongoing conversation. My mother's conversation with Mary and with Jesus translated into writing. My mother was a poet. I became a poet because my mother also had a gift of dreams, and that's where the poetry came from. I also had a gift of dreams. So the running joke was, what time in the morning were my mother and I gonna meet?
that we were going to be writing this poetry. And what half of the dream did she have that I had the same night?
Comparing notes.
Exactly, you know? And so that whole relationship with Mary comes from there. Now, my relationship with Jesus falls right into play because, of course, when you are working in the church and you're mothering, which I was mothering at 15, kids who were younger than I, you're hearing a call. You're not just doing it. You know, I was hearing a call. Somebody was telling me that this is what they wanted me to do. And when that started happening to me, that's when my relationship deepened. I'll tell you truthfully, the relationship with Mary was more real to me than my relationship with Jesus until I started to hear that call.
And Mary always leads people to Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Almost every person you talk to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But like I said, my mother was an amazing person who saw the Blessed Mother as a role model. And that role model that she would see in other people, she would translate into her own family, which is why I believe that in my family there are a lot of firsts. My oldest sister's the first African-American woman to head a hospital, to be CEO of a hospital, and that was Queen General. My cousin that my mother helped raise was one of the Tuskegee Airmen. He was in the 332nd Division that fought in Italy. I mean, the list goes on. And I am the seventh child. And my father was his mother's seventh child. So my mother always told me that I was born for luck and that I was kissed with, how did she put it, a phonograph needle because I never shut up. But, you know, some of these old sayings that the elders used to have were things that also were passed down from generation to generation. I feel a certain loneliness these days with the loss of all of those wonderful, wonderful elders, because it seems like they pass things down. They pass down faith, and I call it faith of our fathers. They pass down that love that we are willing to fight for, and we were willing to fight for, which is why the Offices of Black Ministry came into being. But now I'm seeing in our young people, and it really disturbs me, that they don't see it that way. Their minds work a little different. If you don't want me around, I'm just gonna mosey someplace else. Listen, if the generations before us felt that way, we'd still be sitting in the backs of buses.
Right.
Can't run. And anyway, where you going? Jesus is going to get you eventually because there's no mountain high enough that you can hide behind. And if you have been taught this way of prayer and this way of relationship, you'll never be satisfied without Eucharist. I don't care where you go, and I don't care how good the preacher is, how hot the choir's moving, and all of that. If there's no Eucharist, you're still going to be empty inside.
Eucharist is the center of our religion.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you know what? When we had the relics of St. Margaret Mary here last year, we also had the display of miracles of the Eucharist, and yes. I had Catholics come up and say to me, "You mean Jesus is really alive in that Eucharist?" I said, "That's what our religion is all about.
Yes.
You're receiving his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. And yes, that comes into you, and it's real.
That's his gift to us.
That's right.
That's his eternal gift to us.
And it doesn't make any difference what culture you come from. Truth is truth."
Exactly. And that's why if we are really concentrated on that, we should be able to revel in our differences. We should be able to, listen, I don't know about anybody else, but if the only mass I can make on Sunday is a Spanish mass, I'm just as comfortable there as I am going to a mass in Creole, as I am going to a mass at St. Agnes, as I am going to a mass that has a gospel choir. But I would much rather for myself see young people and just see Black Catholics
in a Catholic church on Sunday, receiving and being fed. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a little secret, because since I've been in this diocese, this is one of the beautiful things, gifts that God has given me. Wherever choir goes, whatever we do, this that we bring with us, this gift of music, this gift of praise and worship, this interpretation of scripture, everybody loves it. I don't care if they're black, white, pink, purple, yep. Zebra, because what it boils down to is that we all need to be fed. And I believe with all my heart that when this civil rights movement came and everything was blown sky high and black Catholics finally started making movement and offices of black ministry started coming into being, Charismatic Renewal was born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is how God moves. This is how he uses us to hit up against one another, to make ourselves together in one pot better and better and better and better all the time.
Because he has no boundaries.
Amen.
And he created us all equally.
Absolutely.
And loved us all equally.
Amen. You know, I had this wonderful notion of going to heaven. And when I get there, the first thing I'm going to look for is the choir. Now, if you sit back and think about it, and this is now black culture and the way we think. If you sit back there and think about it, I'm like, ooh, gotta see Ella in the alto section, man. Where'd they put the count? Where's he playing piano at? Ooh, yeah, there's Dorsey. Yeah, he's making some music over there. Jesus needs a new mass. You know, you're going down this whole thing. That is such a wonderful way of looking at it. And that's what I try to share with people who are not Catholics of African ancestry. That way of looking at things, because that is such a faith-filled way of looking at things. I mean, we just lost a 99-year-old lady who was considered a choir elder because she was our greatest fan. Everywhere we went, Auntie Cam was sitting up there enjoying, shaking the head, doing the whole thing. And I like to think of Auntie Cam. The first thing that happened when she got to heaven was, all right, where's Lena? Never got to meet her. Where she at? Where'd you put her? You know, see, this is... And when you go to the funerals and you go to the wakes, you'd be surprised. You go to black churches that are not Catholic, but believe me when I tell you, if you had been to this funeral and it was Catholic and it was a Mass of the Resurrection, but the music was African American. The style of preaching was African American. And so it was an uplifting of the life of this 99-year-old African-American woman who had seen so much, been through so much, truly a celebration. Whereas if it had been a situation where it was all European music, and the priest was up there, you know, maybe he knew her, but he wasn't preaching the same way, it wouldn't have been. Mm. Sister Thea Bowman, what she told the bishops when she was asked to speak to them was, what we're asking for is to simply be allowed to sit at the table and share our gifts.
That's right. Yes.
We don't want to be separate from anybody. We're just saying, let us in. We're
and
tired
that's
of looking
what
outside.
God, that's what God meant. That's
exactly.
What he wanted
exactly.
To happen.
Exactly.
You know, we're going to have to watch our time just a little bit.
I know, because we could talk forever.
But I want you to talk about the renewal day that you're going to do.
Okay.
And also, if you have any ideas that would really help other people understand where you're coming from as a Catholic, just a few minutes, you know?
Okay, I'm ready for that.
I know. You're ready for anything. I know you very well.
Right now, we are undergoing a test in this country. Financially, there are families out here who are suffering, such as people have not suffered since the Great Depression. We need so much to get out of this mess. And our faith is being tested, as it is ever so often. But for some reason, I'm getting the feeling that this testing of faith is a little different now. That this testing of faith is preparing us for another level. Mm. Okay? And I'm really concerned about that for the African Catholic, American Catholic community, but just all of us as well. So it will be about, we have to get back to the faith that Abraham had. We have to get back to the faith that all of those forefathers had who came to this country as slaves and still got off the boats and still did what they had to do in order to survive. We have to get back to the faith of a Dr. King and a Harriet Tubman. We've lost something in the translation of physical needs in the world. How many cars do you need? How many houses do you need? How many things does your kid need that at 5 years old they must have a cell phone? It's way out of whack and proportion. We are out of balance as a people of God. And I'll share with you, I'm very happy to be here today because anything could have happened to me, but on Sunday I fell. I was coming back from the store, and I had two packages in each hand, and I was walking. You know how we do, ladies. I was walking, and I was thinking about, gee, I got to get my hair done and this and that and all of that. Didn't see the crack and flew with the greatest of ease. It was Cirque du Soleil right in front of somebody's house, and the bags went flying and everything went flying, and to keep from hitting my head, I hit my chin and I hit my knee and the whole thing there. And I sat there and I started laughing. I'm rubbing my knee and I'm laughing and I'm running my chin and I'm laughing, and I looked up and I said, okay, God, stiff neck, hard head. I hear you. I hear you. So this is what you had to do, put me flat on my rear end to get me to look up and to pay attention today. Okay? Well, hello out there. You know, we don't all have to fall on the sidewalk. Okay? God is trying to get our attention. Do we have it within us? And I know we do, because that's why we're getting into all these things in the first place. We're trying to fill this endless void of need within us that only He can fill. The computer, Facebook, all of that is not going to fill the space. The only thing that's going to fill the space is our relationship with God. Can folk call Sankofa. Look back to the faith of your fathers. Renew yourself. Revive yourself. And then after that, let's stay in prayer and let's stay together as community. Because when we do that, that's when things are really going to start to move. That's when things are going to start to get better.
Wow. You know, I really believe, Darcel, you were infected with injected with a phonograph needle.
Darcel, you are special.
You really are wonderful. And people have gotten such a sense. The listeners have gotten such a sense of the history and also the how, as a person, you integrate Jesus, the Eucharist, and your whole culture. It's just wonderful. And she mentioned Saint Monica, and Saint Monica is one of her favorite saints. And Trevor, we're just going to put the next song. Can you put it on softly?
And guess what, Palmer?
What's that?
The saint of the day today is Saint Monica.
I couldn't be more surprised.
And one of the reasons, of course, is because it's Darcel's, one of Darcel's favorite saints. But it relates, she relates so perfectly to the Blessed Mother. She relates so perfectly to the Blessed Mother being so dedicated to Jesus and to her children. And guess who her son was, Palmer?
I know, but you're going to tell me anyway. It's St. Augustine.
St. Augustine was her oldest son, yes. And so she's the quintessential mother. She portrays all the trials and tribulations that mothers have on their children. And she's the patron saint of wives, and she's the patron saint of mothers. And she's the patron saint of difficult marriages and disappointing children, victims of adultery and unfaithfulness, victims of abuse and conversions. So she has a lot of jobs on her hand. She was born in the year 322 in a good Christian family in North Africa. Her parents selected a husband for her, as they did in those years. It just so happened the husband they selected was a pagan who was bad-tempered, ill-mannered, and unfaithful. To add insult to injury, his mother lived with them and taunted Monica and told lies about her. And Monica ignored all the indignations and all the lies and all the bad feelings that the mother was trying to drum up, and practiced good works instead, giving to the poor and helping the sick while still caring for her family. By the way, the other reason why I chose Monica was that I was led to Galatians 6:9, which says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And that was Monica. And so I'll go faster. Eventually, she prayed for Augustine, because Augustine had a very wild life. He fathered a child. He was out of the church, and she prayed for him. And eventually, her faith and kindness were rewarded, and her husband and his mother converted to Christianity.
Wow.
And so Monica's son seemed hopeless, however. He ran away from school, that was Augustine, returned to the house and insulted Monica. She forced him out, but took him back. And after a voice told her, "Your son is with you," which she thought meant with her in the faith. Still he strayed, and he took a mistress, and he had a son, and ignored his mother's protest. The turning point, she sought the help of a local bishop who encouraged her. "It is not possible the son of so many tears should perish." Eventually, Monica turned to the bishop in Italy, who brought her son to God by appealing to his intelligence instead of to his emotions. And we all remember the story when Augustine stood before his father, took all his clothes off and naked with the bishop, and gave the father everything back and started his own movement. And so Monica's goal came to pass in ways even she didn't foresee. Her son became so strongly drawn to the faith that he was eventually canonized as Saint Augustine, one of the church's greatest teachers and philosophers, and she became Saint Monica. So that's the short version, Palmer.
But isn't it amazing to know that she had to pray and pray and pray for her son? How many of our listeners have kids who are in trouble, and you feel so helpless, you can't do anything, but you pray for them, and you ask God, please, please come into their life. I'm with you, Jesus, but would you drag them along too? And somehow or other bring them to their knees. That's what she did. She prayed how many years? 17 years?
18 years, Eight? And she never gave up hope.
So all parents who are listening, who have troubled children, and people who are children who are just not listening to God, take a lesson from Monica. Pray to Monica for the strength to pray for your own kids and not give up on them. Not give up on them.
Very true, Dr. Palmer. Many parents today face the same problem. However despairing she must have felt, Monica never gave up.
That's right.
She realized that she couldn't do everything on her own and wasn't afraid to ask others for her help, even when it was embarrassing.
And that's why we're just going to continue on and pray now for all of our children who are somehow struggling and lost. And we're just given the praise and the honor and the glory to God. And we ask Jesus, please, please, please touch our children. You know, Tony and I are coming to the end of the road sooner or later. You know, we don't, it's a dead end, we know. But there are children whose lives are yet to unfold before them.
Absolutely.
And I ask every parent out there right now, take a hand of your spouse, or if you're alone, just lift your hands up in the air. And we plead and ask Jesus, touch our children. Just as Martin Luther King said, let our people go. Just as Moses said, let our people go. Just as Harriet Tubman said, we need an underground railroad to set our captive people free. Our children are captive of the culture of our society. And they're lost, Lord. They're lost, as Darcel said, in things. In things, Lord.
But all is not hopeless.
No, it isn't.
For they too can become a St. Augustine.
So we ask, first of all, St. Michael the Archangel to protect our children from the wiles and the snares of the evil one. And Lord, we pray for every child, teenager, young adult, who has an addiction, or whose marriage is in trouble, or even our grandchildren who may be in trouble. Touch them, Lord, now. Come into their lives. Bless them with a sense of your true presence in them. And we pray now also for all those who have given us petitions. The pile of petitions are growing up. And Lord, we ask, touch all those who have asked for prayer. You know who they are, Lord. You know who they are. And in my heart I hear, my friends, do not give up. Be like Monica. Keep your nose to the prayer stone. Pray, pray, pray. Your prayers do not fall on deaf ears. We hear every petition that you offer us. And we tell you now, we are very much at work in the lives of your children. We are very much at work in changing the direction of their lives. We ask you to trust us. Don't get all caught up in their problems. Come directly to us. Bypass their problems and ask us to help them. And we will. We will, dear friends. We will. Amen.
And Jesus, we give you thanks and praise and glory for all those that you have healed and all those that you have touched their lives and all those that you have converted.
The last song. And we're going to move to the last song because it kind of sums up what people need to know. One more.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to be on the air for 1 year.
You will have a people of praise.
And happy anniversary, Palmer.
Happy anniversary.
You will have a passionate bride.
That's why we came tonight.